Psalm 46, verse number 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be moved, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah, come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in asunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted amongst the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for allowing, Lord, me to spend a little bit of extra time in the Psalms this week, and especially Psalm 46. I would ask, God, that the things that you shared with me, I'd be able to pass on to these, my people, Lord. And I would ask that you would, Lord, use this message to help. Thank you for being all that you promised to be. Lord, we can read the scriptures and know that everything we read is true. Lord, you do not misrepresent yourself. You do not make promises that you cannot or will not keep. I would pray, Lord, that you would help us to learn to be more aware of your presence, especially during times of trouble. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I am going to walk you through a process that I went through early in the morning on Sunday. Actually, it would have been Monday morning. It was past midnight. I had the great opportunity of trying to rest in a hospital. Have you ever been there? And thank God you get released so that you can go home and finally get some sleep. But I appreciate all of the good staff there. I really mean this. There was an excellent, excellent group of nurses and technicians and people that took good care of me at Regional Hospital while I was there. I want to really thank the one lady that came in and woke me up. I'd have a deep sleep at 4:30 in the morning to tell me that she was filling my water pitcher. That was especially a blessing. But besides that, that one incident aside, most people were very helpful and let me rest unless they had needed my attention. But as most of you would know that would be 40 and above, it's probably miraculous if we sleep through an entire night anyway. And so I woke up and woke up in the wee hours or was awakened, I can't remember. This would have been early Monday morning, about 2:30. And from about 2:30 to 4 o'clock, I just finally was awake. When I get awake, my mind gets going and, you know, forget it. And so I grabbed my laptop that was laying on the thing and I opened it up and punched in Psalm 45. Psalm 45, we didn't read that because I just like that psalm. I like to read it. So I read through it. Then I was enjoying it, so I decided to read Psalm 46. And after I read Psalm 46, so many verses jumped out that I said, okay, I think this is where the Lord wants me to spend some time. And so I had the advantage of having my laptop and the Bible actually on my laptop where I could just spend some time going through the psalm word by word, phrase by phrase. You know, let me just say this, and I'm not going to be real popular here for a minute. And if you haven't done this or you don't have this ability, that's fine. But I want to say especially to our young people, learn grammar. I mean it. By the way, if you're going to preach the Bible, you know what your tools are? Your tools are words. And you ought to be familiar with your tools. Learn grammar. Learn grammar. And what I do a lot of times, and I spent so much time, most of the time I spent just in verse number 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. For those of you that know grammar, you're going to enjoy the next few minutes. The others just kind of nod, and everybody will think that you know your grammar very well. Let's look at the English grammar. in Psalm 46, verse number 1. I love it when the subject noun of a verse is God. What better subject noun can you have in a verse? So God is the subject noun, and then we have a state of being verb, is. Now, after a state of being verb, you're going to find either a predicate nominative or a predicate adjective. Well, you're going to find not just one predicate nominative, you're going to find three predicate nominatives. Now, God is going to be renamed. He's going to be given an association with three distinct other nouns. God is refuge, God is strength, and God is, what's the third one? Help. Very good. That was even one of my students from the old days. Very, hey, brother, I got it to you, didn't I? I got it to you. All right, good. I think you're the only one, but praise the Lord. God is refuge. Are you listening, church? Boy, this is good. God is refuge. God is strength. God is help. All right. Now, I like that little personal pronoun there, our, because that makes it personal. God is our refuge. God is our strength. God is our help. Now, we have the last part of the verse. We find the third predicate nominative, but around it and before it, we see an adjective. And then in front of the adjective, we see a what? Very good. It's an adverb because it is not describing help. It's describing the adjective. Boy, aren't we having a good time here. Now, you're glad you came to church. Some of these teenage boys kind of look dizzy right now. They're just kind of, what is going on? Amen. All right. Now get this. God is not just a help, but he is a present help. And he's not just a present help. He's a very present help. And that's the phrase that captivated my attention in the wee hours in the hospital on this past early Monday morning. Was this: God is, yes, my refuge. God is my strength, but he is a very present help. And then the sentence ends with a little prepositional phrase there, in trouble. So it's telling when he becomes a very present help. When is God a very present help? Whenever you're in trouble. Now, for some of you, this ought to be very exciting because I'm looking at this crew, and y'all are in trouble a lot. Amen? You're in trouble a lot. So God says this: when you are in trouble, I become a very present help. Now, God's a help all the time, and God's present all the time. But when he sees one of his children, are you listening, mamas? You can relate to this. Are you listening, daddies? He sees one of his children in trouble. He doesn't just become there. He's not just there to help. He's not just present. He becomes very present in that type of a situation. I'm in the hospital thinking, you know what? God knows I'm in trouble right now. And God right now has become for me a refuge. He's become for me strength. He's become for me not just a help, but a present help. And not just a present help. He's a very present help. Now, let me share with you why that's so exciting. I want you to stay with me here. Now, we've looked at the English grammar, and so can I just again risk a little bit here and take a few more minutes and again just shake your head yes, like you understand all of this. But now that we've looked at the English grammar, what's fun with my computer is that I can take my little cursor and I can click on every word, and over here to the side, it puts the Hebrew word and the Hebrew definition. And man, I just said to myself, I'm going to just milk this verse and find out everything I can out of it. This is good stuff. I need this right now. So I clicked on that word very. You know what it means? It means vehemently. It means wholly. It means speedily. It means especially, exceedingly, mightily, utterly. Then the word present means to come forth, to appear or exist, to meet or be present. And then the word help there means very simply to aid, to show up for the purpose of giving aid or giving succor or giving encouragement, giving you what you need during that time of trouble. Now, what is God? I'm going to put it all together. Thanks for staying with me. What is God trying to communicate to us through His Word? God is saying, are you listening to me? That in life you will face trouble. But He tells us that He is our refuge and our strength during times of trouble. Then these three wonderful words, very present help. God becomes a very present help in times of trouble. God is assuring us that during times of trouble, He is there. But not just there, very there. And not just very there, but very there for a specific purpose. Very there to bring aid. Very there to bring help. What this verse is teaching us is that God's presence intensifies during times of trouble. God's power amplifies during times of trouble. Whenever one of His children is in trouble, God has promised to wholly, speedily, exceedingly, especially, quickly, and mightily appear and exist to help and aid in times of trouble. Amen. 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 I'm here to tell you, hey, God did that for me this week. Has He ever done that for you? You know He has. Now, God is a very present help in trouble. Let me say this. If you're saved, God is your very present help in times of trouble. Now, I want to encourage you because I want you to start looking at trouble a little bit more scripturally, a little more biblically. Are you with me now? Are you thinking about this? Now, during trouble, you have a great opportunity to see God as you've never seen Him before. You have a great opportunity to learn things about God that you've never learned before. During times of trouble, you have an opportunity to become an eyewitness to His intensified presence, to become an eyewitness to His amplified power working through you and in you. You think that you know God. You think God's close to you. During times of trouble, He becomes that very present help in times of trouble. Let me say this, folks. A lot of times when we get ourselves in trouble or we have unexpected trouble, we're so consumed by focusing on the trouble that we miss the opportunity to get to know God on a level that we never will have an opportunity to get to know Him outside of trouble. Are you getting this? Are you learning something right now? I want to get you somewhere this morning. The next time something happens in your life, the next time the unexpected happens, the next time trouble comes into your life, listen, if you want to, you can focus solely on that trouble and you can feel sorry for yourself, or you can say, you know what? Right now, God's on His way. Right now, God's here in my life like He's never been before. Right now, He's present in a way that He's not been outside of trouble. Man, I'll tell you what, I don't want to miss what's about to happen. I don't want to miss what He's going to do. I don't want to miss what He's going to teach me. And if you're focused on that, you know what? The trouble pretty soon doesn't seem like such a bad thing. Matter of fact, it's the vehicle that brought Him there in that type of power. It's the vehicle that brought Him there in the intensity of His presence. Good night. All of a sudden, you start looking at the trouble is, and I don't listen. You say, Brother Jerry, do you like trouble? I don't like trouble, but I like the God that I get to meet during trouble. I like the things that I learn about God during the trouble. I like the miracles I get to see during the trouble. I like to see. I'm selfish, I'll tell you, but I like the help. I like the aid. I like the presence. I like the power. Hey, don't sign me up on the list that says no more trouble. Don't sign me up on that list. What's more important, going through life and having a trouble-free existence, or going through life and learning to know God? Learning to know God. All through the Bible, we see children of God get themselves in trouble, or just trouble comes. And then God becomes a very present help. Let me just give you some stories you'll recognize if you've been saved very long. How about Moses? After he led the children of Israel out of Egypt, got all the way to the Red Sea, and all of a sudden Pharaoh said, "What in the world did I do?" He hardened his heart again, and he mounts up and gathers his army, and he heads after the children of Israel. All of a sudden you look, and we have the Red Sea on this side, and we have the Egyptians coming on this side, and the Israelites are stuck in the middle. And by the way, we see most of the congregation focus back towards the Egyptians. And you know what they start saying? Oh, we should have stayed in Egypt. Oh, you know what? All they could see is the trouble. But you know what? There was a spiritual leader by the name of Moses. And he looked towards heaven and cried out to God and then looked down to the people and rebuked them and said, watch and see what God's going to do. You know what? I'm sorry, but I know Moses was human. And I know Moses had his frailties. But you know what? When Moses saw trouble, he looked up. When the Israelite children tend to see trouble, they looked at the trouble. And you know what Moses was saying? And if we had the time to go back and read that story, do it this week. You know, I almost see him saying, you know what? Something's going to happen. This is for a reason. God's going to do something great. Hey, look out. Listen, was he excited to see the Egyptians? No, I don't think so. I'm not excited when trouble comes either, but I'm always excited about what God's going to do in the midst of trouble. Finally, God listens to all of this nonsense. The Israelites crying and Moses praying and crying out. Finally, he just speaks from heaven to Moses. He said, why are you crying out to me? He's saying, take that rod in your hand and lift it up over that sea right there and tell the Israelites to go forward. And so he commands them to go forward, and they look at him like he's out of his mind. And about the time he lifts his rod, and God performs the miraculous. And all of a sudden, that sea splits. And the Bible says that the sea becomes as walls on either side, and a wind goes through and dries the ground. And folks, listen to me, they were kicking up dust as they were walking through that seabed from one side of the Red Sea to the other side of the Red Sea, and they are amazed by that. I can see mamas trying to keep children away from the edges because there wasn't a child walking through there that didn't want to reach in there and try to grab a fish. You know your children, that's exactly what they would have been doing. They said, don't you punch a hole in that, you might make a leak. Nobody was going to make that thing leak until God said it was time to make it leak. And so they walk through there, and they get to the other side, and Moses is watching all of this, and he sees the last Israelite leave, and all of a sudden here comes Pharaoh's army, and they're using the same path. By the way, if I was in bad spiritual shape as Pharaoh was, and I saw what I saw, there's no way you'd have got me in that ocean. I ticked off God 10 times. I don't think I would have got in there. But you know what? It's amazing what a hard-hearted sinner will do. How stubbornly they'll rush to their own destruction. Next thing you know, in the midst of that dry ground, as the Pharaoh's armies got in the middle of it, God began to allow that water to seep back into the ground. And next thing you know, the chariots are bogging down and the soldiers are trying to walk through muck. And then all of a sudden, God gave the command, Moses, lift up your rod. And you know what? God covered them up and made that little path disappear and wiped out his enemies. And you know what? I think Moses said under his breath, I think he said, a very present help. Very present help. Listen, they'd have never seen that very present help if they hadn't been in trouble. If you hadn't been in trouble. All through the Bible we see stories like this. What about Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? You know what? Here's the rule. When the rock and roll music starts, everybody bows down to the image. That's what the rule was. There's a big idol of Nebuchadnezzar, and when the music starts, you all bow down. But there was 3 Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And you know what they said? They said, I'm sorry, but that's against the law of Almighty God. I cannot bow down to a graven image. There's only one God. And I'm only supposed to worship that one God. So we can't do it. They weren't being rebellious. They were being obedient. They weren't being stubborn. They were being right. So the music started and everybody bowed down and there stood 3 Hebrew children. Next thing you know, they're being brought before Nebuchadnezzar and they're being rebuked and they're being given a chance to a second chance to do what they wouldn't do the first time. And they stood firm and then the furnace was heated. You know the story? And the men that threw them into the furnace, you know what? They got burnt, but the 3 that landed in the furnace were walking around. The only thing that burned up in that furnace was the cords that bound their feet and bound their hands. And you know what? Nebuchadnezzar started looking in that furnace and said, am I seeing what I think I'm seeing? And they said, what do you see? He said, well, I don't see 3. How many did you throw in there? Did one of the other guys stumble in there? No, they didn't. How many did we throw in there? Through 3. How come I see 4? And the last one is likened to the Son of God. And I think they heard something come out of there, because these three men, I think, was gathering around the fourth. And Nebuchadnezzar said, "Did you hear something?" He said, maybe one of the guards, "I think I heard something." He said, "What was it?" "Well, it was in Hebrew." "Well, what did he say?" "I think he said, 'A very present help.'" I think that's what I heard him say. How about old Daniel? Daniel chapter number 6, just a few chapters later, when they again pass another law. You know what? When the government passes a law telling you you can't do what God says you're commanded to do, then guess what? God wins and the government loses. Let me get that in your heart, people, because we're going to see it. We're going to see it in the next 4 years or 8 years. When the government says no and God says yes, we obey God, not the government. Amen. And so there was a law, and you know what that law was? You're not allowed to pray. Daniel said, "I'm sorry, I've got a whole book, God's book, that tells me I'm supposed to pray." Right. He said, I can't not pray. And so you know what he did? He prayed. And they used that as occasion against him. And here was the punishment. It was already with the law written together. Any man that asks any petition for anyone except the king, you know what? They're going to be thrown in a den of lions. Now, this isn't a hand slap, folks. This isn't a fine. This isn't, "I'm going to take your tax exempt." This is, "I'm going to throw you to the kitty cats." Big kitty cats. Big hungry kitty cats. Big sharp teeth. And you know what they did? They said, "Daniel, you know what? You broke the king's commandment." He said, "Yeah, but I kept the king's commandment." And you know what they did? They took him over the lion's den and they threw him in. You know what? They covered it up. The next day, Nebuchadnezzar, he couldn't sleep. He couldn't sleep all night long. Early in the morning, first guy up in the palace, Nebuchadnezzar, he's over there by the pit, and he's hollering down for Daniel. Wonder why he's hollering down for Daniel. Maybe he already figured out something. Maybe he knew something down in the depths of his heart. Next thing you know, he heard Daniel say something. One of the guards was there. "What do you say?" "I think he said, 'A very present help.'" A very present help. A very present help, king. Very present help. Amen. Oh, Peter. I like Peter. Bible says that the winds were boisterous and the storm raged and the ship was about to capsize. In the middle of all that mess, they look out and they see what they thought at first was a ghost walking across the Sea of Galilee. And they were all afraid until Jesus speaks out to them and says, "Don't be afraid, it's me." And then he says something that I wouldn't have expected anybody to say. Now, we know it because we were there, but you got to admit, if you were another disciple in that boat, the last thing you thought you'd hear was somebody in that boat say, "Can I come out to you? If you're the Son of God, can I come out to you, Jesus?" I think 11 other disciples looked at him like, "Are you crazy?" And Jesus, I think, smiled and said, "Why don't you just come on out here?" And you know what? The Bible says that Peter stepped out of that boat and he walked on the water. Say, "Wait a minute, Pastor, I read that. It says he sunk." Yeah, he did eventually sink, but it also says he walked on the water. It also said he walked on the water. Did you get that? He walked on the... You know, besides Jesus Christ, he's the only person in the Bible we can find that ever walked on the water was Peter. You know why? Because he dared to do it. He asked to do it. And you know what? God let him do it. But in the midst of that great step of faith, he took his eyes off Jesus and began to notice that the wind was blowing and the waves were deep. And in Matthew 14:30 it says, "But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. And he cried, saying, 'Lord, save me!'" And I love this. "And immediately, a very present help. Immediately, Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, 'O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?'" Did you get that? You know what I think? I think on the way back to the boat, as they were putting him in the boat, I think maybe somebody heard Peter say, "A very present help. Very present help." Have you ever stepped out on faith and wanted to do something and you had a heart to do it and you wanted God to help you to do it, and for a while you did it, but you know, all of a sudden at some point you got your eyes off Jesus and you began to sink? Are you listening to me? You know what? If you'll call out, you'll find out that before you can finish your prayer, he's there. Have you got yourself in trouble? Have you got yourself in trouble? Guess what comes with trouble? refuge. Guess what comes with trouble? Strength. Guess what comes with trouble? A very present help comes with trouble. You say, well, Brother Jerry, I got myself in this trouble. Well, you know what? Come on, parents. Most of the trouble our kids get into, they get in themselves. But you're going to tell me that you still won't be that very present help when they're in times of trouble? No. You know what? You don't say, well, they got themselves in trouble, so I'll just let them get run over by that car because maybe they'll get a lesson learned. No, mama's going to be out there, whether it's the kid's fault or whether it's somebody else's fault. You know what? And God's a good father, and he sees us get ourselves in trouble a lot. And you know what he says? He said, if there's trouble, then I'm there. And I'm not just there, I'm very there. And I'm not just very there, I'm very there to help, to bring aid, to help out in that situation. Hey, listen to me. God's never going to be more closer to you than he is when you're in trouble. His presence is never going to be any more there than when you're in trouble. Hey, listen to me. If you want to focus on the trouble, you're missing the point. If you want to whine about the trouble, you're missing the point. If you want to send out the cards and have a pity party, you're missing the point. God allows trouble, or God sees us get in trouble, but you know what? With the trouble always comes the increased, intensified presence of Almighty God. Always comes the amplified power of Almighty God. And you know what? For the mature Christian, we don't like trouble, but you know what? When it happens, there's a little smile that comes on our face that says, man, I wonder what God's about to do. I wonder what I'm going to learn about God that I never learned before. I mean, this is an opportunity because I'm going to be able to spend a little bit of time in the intensified presence of Almighty God. I'm going to be able to see and watch and interact with the amplified power of the Creator of the universe. I don't want to miss that opportunity. Think about Stephen, who preached himself into some trouble. Well, I want to share this story with you. I thought about Stephen. You know what? Stephen just preached himself in trouble. He didn't do anything wrong. He just preached. He did exactly what God told him to do. Boy, he was an old-time Lester Roloff independent fundamental Baptist preacher. He didn't mince words. He used the Bible. When it got down to time to apply the scriptures, he made sure that everybody knew who the sermon was for. I mean, he pinned the tail on the donkey. He dotted the I and crossed the T, and nobody there had any doubt who he was talking about or what their problem was. And you know what? Instead of a group of Jewish people that ought to know better, instead of them repenting and getting right and taking responsibility for the fact that they'd killed their own Messiah, the Bible says they gnashed on him with their teeth. I don't know. I don't know about that. They gnashed on him with their teeth. And I've made people mad when I've preached, but I've never had anybody bite me yet. But they gnash on him with their, well, maybe not physically. I think they chew on you quite a bit, don't they, from time to time. But that's all right. You got some brothers and sisters that did the same in the book of Acts, amen. But are you listening to me? He preached himself into trouble. Now watch this. Watch, I want you to get this. Here's Stephen is, and you know what? They're biting him and beating him, and they throw him in the ground. Then they go get a bunch of rocks, and they form a circle around him. They're getting ready to stone him to death. And you know what? Stephen does not look at them. Of all the crazy things, when if I was trying to figure out how to get myself in trouble, you know what? I'd be looking at the trouble. But Stephen is not looking at the trouble. Stephen takes a quick glance around and says, I'm in trouble. And you know where his eyes go next? His eyes go straight to heaven. You know why? Because I think there's a little smile on the corners of Stephen's mouth that says, well, son, you got yourself in a pickle this time. I'm in deep trouble. But you know what? Every time I've ever been here, there's been an intensified presence of the power and the presence of Almighty God. I don't want to miss that. And the next thing you know, he looks up. And you know what? He doesn't see Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father. He sees him standing at the right hand of the Father. Let me show you, folks. This is Jesus being present, watching. This is Jesus being very present, watching. Amen. And Stephen, I think, said, Lord, I need you to be a help. And he said, I'm going to help you, son. You just keep looking right here in my eyes. You look at me. Don't you worry about anything that's going on around you. And Stephen and Jesus is having a conversation as the stones are flying. But you know what? He's so locked onto Jesus, he doesn't even pay attention to what's happening around him. And in the midst of being stoned, the Bible says he's talking to Jesus. He said, Jesus, would you do me one last favor? He said, son, you keep your eyes right here. You're going to be fine. I'll do anything you want. Would you not lay this sin to their charge? Don't blame them. They're ignorant. They don't understand. Maybe I didn't do a very good job of preaching. And maybe down the road they'll still have a chance to hear the gospel. And we say, God, don't curse them. God, don't make it so that they can't be saved. God, give them some second chance. By the way, one of those rascals was a guy by the name of Saul. And you know what? Stephen's prayer probably saved Saul's eternity. And all the time the stones are being flung and bones are being broken, I think by this time a little spiritual cocoon had been wrapped around a child of God. And I believe with all of my heart, and by the way, let me comfort you. You say, oh, Brother Jerry, my loved one's suffering, and sometimes you stand by that deathbed. Let me just assure you of this. I believe with all my heart. I don't care how visibly drastic and horrific the death seems to be, there's a point where God locks into his children, wraps that protective cocoon, and says, you just stay here with me. You just stay here with me. When Lazarus died, an old beggar, the Bible says the angels were there and they wrapped around Lazarus and they carried him off to heaven. And I think while the body was given its last and was suffering the most, maybe the transportation had already begun. And the angels were there and God was up in heaven looking down. And let me just say this. I don't know what trouble you're going to face. And one of these days, we're going to all face that terrible dark valley of trouble. But you know what? We're going to find out even then he's a very present help. He's a very present help. I do not like trouble, but I like the opportunity it gives me. Now during trouble, I can focus on the trouble and learn a lot about how bad trouble is. Or I can focus on God and know that I have been given a rare opportunity to watch him perform supernaturally in the midst of trouble. I do not like trouble, but I sure like the intensified presence of God. I do not like trouble, but I sure enjoy experiencing the amplified power of an almighty creator helping and aiding on my behalf. Somebody called this week, a friend from another state, said, hey, I heard you run into some trouble this week. I said, well, yeah, I run into a little trouble, but I ran into a bigger God. Let me ask you this. What are you going through? What are you going through? Preacher, I have trouble. I know. God sent me here to remind you that along with the trouble, you have something else. You have a refuge. Along with the trouble, you have strength. It's his strength. And you have a God that during times of trouble delights in being a very present help. You have a God who has promised to wholly, speedily, exceedingly, especially, quickly, and mightily appear and exist to help and aid you in the midst of trouble. Now, until this trouble is resolved in your life, don't miss out on the opportunity to learn all you can about him. He will never be any closer than he is right now. And don't be so focused on the trouble that you miss the miracles that are going to happen in the midst of the trouble. And by the way, let me say this. And enjoy. That's right. I said, dare to enjoy the one who is a very present help. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Heavenly Father, I would thank you, Lord, for this wonderful verse of Scripture and for all of the healing and help that it brought to this preacher in the wee hours of the morning. Thank you, Lord, for being that very present help. Thank you for the peace, Lord, that you sent to my heart. And Lord, thank you for what I was allowed to see in the days to come. Lord, thank you for being there when we need you the most. Now, God, I'm not by myself, and the honest truth is what I went through this past week is a light affliction. I know that there are some of God's people here that are in trouble, and Lord, they're in the midst of it, and Lord, I want them to know. I believe you want them to know that you're there. I pray, God, that you'd help them to lift up their eyes. Don't worry about the circumstances. Don't worry about the trouble. And to understand that they have a refuge. that there's divine strength available, that there is a God who in times of trouble commits himself to being a very present help. And Lord, I pray that you'd lift up, Lord, maybe the drooped shoulders and encourage the discouraged heart. I pray that you would, Lord, reach down and touch and strengthen maybe the body that is feeble, and Lord, perhaps the spirit that's a bit discouraged. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us all during times of trouble to learn, to focus, Lord, on your presence, and to learn something new about you, and to understand that we're never allowed to be in that situation without some divine purpose or purposes that you want to accomplish in our lives, or maybe through our lives to touch another life. And so I would ask, Lord, your goodness, please, and help to those that are in trouble. And Lord, for those who are not, trouble will come. I pray, God, when that comes, Psalm 46:1 will filter back into their, Lord, through their memory and to their present. And Lord, that your Holy Spirit would bring this verse to their mind. Help them to lift up their eyes and to the hill from which cometh, Lord, their help. Their help, that very, very present help. Heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I don't ask for things to be revealed that are private, and I don't ask for details if you're not wanting to give them out. But I would like to know to pray for you. Preacher, I'm in one of those times of trouble. I needed to hear this, and I needed to know this. Maybe it's not physical. Maybe it's emotional. Maybe it's not emotional. Maybe it's mental. It's not mental. Maybe it's spiritual. Maybe financial. You know, there's all kinds of trouble. Preacher, I needed to hear this. Would you raise your hand? I needed to hear this. Please pray especially for me. God, you see these hands raised all over the auditorium. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. Come to them now, God. Lord, in power, help them to realize, Lord, that you're there like you've never been before. And I pray, dear God, that you'd give the strength and give that little refuge that they need, Lord. That little secure place, safety place, Lord, as they're going through the trouble. That protection place, Lord, for their minds and their souls and their spirits and their bodies. I pray, God, that you'd bless, please. If there's someone here that's never been saved, my goodness sakes, how do you go through trouble without God? How do you go through trouble, the troubles of life, without God? There's somebody here that's never been saved. I pray today they'd walk forward and get a hold of the hand of one of these men that stand at the front and say, I need God in my life. I need to be saved. I need to be born again. And Lord, I pray that today would be that day in their lives.